in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, Peter calls the word of prophecy a light in the middle of the verse, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. And that word light means a lamp, a hand lamp or a portable lamp. And that lamp is said to be shining, which means it gives light, which is, of course, is the purpose of a lamp. And where does it do that? It's shining in a dark place. Now, the word dark there means dry, dirty, squalid, filthy, nasty, obscure, murky, covered, or dark. Not a pretty picture. Sounds like a pigsty in an unlighted barn. And yet, it is a very accurate description of the condition of this world and of ourselves since the fall of man into sin. This world is a dark, dry, dirty, covered place, like being in a cavern or cave. Now, Peter goes on to say, until the day dawn. Now remember, he's giving us a time frame for our study of the Old Testament prophets. And he's saying we should take heed to them until the day dawn. And until the day star arise in our hearts. Now we're going to try to understand what he's saying there. When he says until the day dawn, you could also translate that as until day should dawn. Take heed to the prophets until day should dawn. Now, the day here refers to a period of time, and it's said here to dawn, and that word means to shine through. And so it's referring to the breaking of daylight after night. God's word is like the breaking of daylight after a long, dark night. And we should take heed to that. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, we have this idea brought out. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 17. It says, until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. And so he's calling on the Lord to come to him. And by the Lord coming, turning to him, it would be like the dawning of the day after night. Now, what's Peter referring to? That's the next question. It's somewhat of a difficult phrase. Some would say that this refers to a sinner coming to salvation in Christ. And that would be an apt description of that. But what we notice is Peter here is not writing to lost souls, but he's writing to those who have like precious faith with him. Remember how he said that? Verse 1, he's writing to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, so they're not lost. In verse 12, he says, they are established in the present truth. Wherefore, I would not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. They know these things, and they are established in the present truth. So they're not ignorant or lost. And yet again, this is something that the Bible does use. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 as a illustration of what God does for us when He saves us. Verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's why people don't understand what we believe and why we do what we do. They're blinded by Satan. And why does he do this? To prevent something, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He's trying to keep them out of the light, or the light from them. Chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, verse 2. This time we're in between Christ's first and second coming is called a day of salvation, when the gospel goes forth and sinners are invited to come to Christ and be saved. He says, for he says, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The day of salvation is done with the coming of Christ. And the gospel goes forth as a light to bring people to Christ. And Ephesians 5 says, when we come to Christ, what happens? Verse 8. For you were sometimes, or in the past, you were darkness. But now that you've been saved, you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. But I don't think that's Peter's main reference here. Others think, when Peter says, until the day dawn, in 2 Peter 1:19, that this is a reference to the period of light that was brought in by Christ, in contrast to the comparative darkness of the Old Testament period. In other words, in the Old Testament, God suffered the nations to walk in their own ways. In the Old Testament, the Jews had the form of the knowledge of the truth in their law, but compared to what we have in the New Testament, it was a time of darkness. Remember what John chapter 1 said? When Jesus came, He brought light to us. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, or overcame it not. So Jesus brought life, light into this darkness. And of course He came first to Israel, and He brought light to them as well. But that's not the meaning of 2 Peter 1:19. He's saying it's a light that is shining. You know, of course, Christ has come and gone. You know, He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And He's returned to heaven. And, of course, the light continues in the gospel message, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10 says, but it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So He brought this light to us by the gospel. And that's why Malachi chapter 4 says He would be like a sun rising when He came. Malachi chapter 4. It says in verse 1, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness, that's a reference to Christ, called the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness, He shall arise with healing in His wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And I also think this is what 1 John chapter 2, verse 8 is referring to. The light of Christ that's come to us in the New Testament, which is far greater than the light that they enjoyed under the Old Testament. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8, he says, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him, in Christ, and in you." Why? "Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth." He's the true light that shines. Now, we also know that the prophecies of the Old Testament did not cease to be of use and value after Christ has come. They continue to be of use and value to us. So he's not saying that we are to take heed to the Old Testament prophecies until Jesus comes. So that's not the meaning here. Let's go on in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. He goes on to say, we're to take heed to the Old Testament prophets until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now this word day star literally means to bear light. It refers to the morning star, the first star seen, as the bearer and bringer of light. And this day star is said to arise, which means to rise or spring up. And it's used of the sun rising in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. Matthew 5:45, Jesus says, we're to love our enemies so that we may be the children of our Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise, there it is, on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Now, Christ Himself is said to be a star. Remember in the prophecy of Balaam in Numbers chapter 24? Let's try to identify this day star. Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17. Balaam, under inspiration, he says, "I shall see Him," referring to Christ, "but not now. I shall behold Him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." He's a star, a light bearer. And then in the book of Revelation, we find Him referred to as a star also. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 28. Jesus talks of those who overcome through faith in Him and how He will bless them. He says in verse 28, "I will give Him the morning star," referring to Himself. We'll have Christ as ours. In chapter 22 and verse 16, He talks about Himself as being this morning star. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." So, again, Christ is the morning star, and He's even said to have sprung up or arisen by His incarnation and coming into the world in order to give us light. Zechariah chapter 6. The prophet Zechariah, second last of the Old Testament prophets. In verse 12, it says, "And speak unto him, saying," speak unto Joshua, the high priest, "saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch," that's a reference to Christ, He's the Netzer. And he shall grow up out of his place. No, he's going to come up out of his place. And he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall arise upon us. Luke chapter 1. And verse 48. No, I want 78. It talks about through the tender mercy of our God, whereby, or by God's tender mercy, the dayspring from on high hath visited us. This dayspring on high has come to us. Why? To give salvation to His people by the remission of their sins, which John the Baptist would be proclaiming. One more, Hebrews chapter 7. In verse 14, for it is evident, here's the apostle explaining how Jesus far exceeds the Levitical priesthood. It is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. He sprang up. He rose out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Alright, so here you have the day star, and it's said to arise where? Where does it arise? 2 Peter 1:19. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. You know, Christ was in the flesh on earth, He's ascended, He's glorified to the right hand of God the Father in heaven. But until He's in our hearts, we don't gain any benefit by Him. He is the light, but we need that light to be in us. He says, this day star arises in our hearts, or in our inner man. And so He's speaking here of personal spiritual experience. You need to take heed to the Old Testament prophets until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. And this word until is very interesting. It doesn't mean when that happens, you stop taking heed. It means to that point and beyond. You'll find that's used that way in the Bible many times. I'm trying to think of an example. It says, Samuel did not come to see Saul until the day of his death. Now, does that mean when he died, he came to see Saul? No, he didn't come to see Saul at all throughout his life. And after he died, of course, he didn't come to see Saul. And so, the word until is saying, take heed. Now, what is this day star arising? Some would say that it refers to the second coming of Christ. And so, then it means we're to read and study the prophets until Christ's return, which will usher in the day of glory. Remember, Jesus is going to come in power and great glory from heaven to take us to Himself. In 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us what's going to happen at that time. Now, I said that the Old Testament was comparatively a period of darkness compared to the New Testament. You want to know another fact? The New Testament is a period of darkness comparatively to when Jesus comes back and we have the light of eternity and glory. Then we'll know everything. Right now we know very limited. That's what 1 Corinthians 13:12 says. For now we see through a glass darkly. Things are still dark, but then we'll see face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So they would say, he's talking here about the second coming when we'll have greater light than ever before, and we should keep reading the prophets throughout this New Testament time. Now, it is true we should, but back in 2 Peter 1:19, Since it says that the rising is in our hearts and not in the heavens, it seems to mean we are to study the prophets. Why? For our own growth in grace, faith, and holiness. In other words, even though we have the light and Christ in our hearts, that needs to be continually increasing throughout our lives in this world. And reading the Old Testament prophets helps produce that result. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, it says this, "But the path of the just," right, here's someone that knows the Lord, "is as the shining light." He's in the light, he has the light. But notice, that light shines more and more unto the perfect day. We need to always be growing throughout our lives in this world. Another place is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. It says there, "Wherefore," he says, "awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." More and more light from Christ. Now, let's look at some verses that try to bring this all together. The day we are in now, this gospel day, this New Testament day, between Christ's first and second coming, what should we be doing? Romans chapter 13. Verse 11 and 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is it is high time to awake out of sleep. Awake thou that sleepest." This is addressed to Christians. We get sleepy and drowsy sometimes. "For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe." Now that's talking about our final, full, ultimate salvation when we're in heaven. That's here. It's coming soon. It's near. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand." Right, the night there is the time of sin and ignorance and error. "But now the day is upon us. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Let us put on. So here he's talking about the day is upon us. And we should walk in that the light of that day. Putting off the works of darkness, putting on the armor of light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 4. Now he's talking to Christians, "But ye brethren, you are not in darkness, that day," what day? The day of Christ's return, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Notice, Christians are in the day. "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night." And what's the characteristic of someone that's asleep? They don't know what's going on around them. They're oblivious to their surroundings and their circumstances. They're out of touch with reality. They can't function. Let's not be that way spiritually. "They that are drunken are drunken in the night." That's the same of drunken persons. They lose the use of their faculties and they become unreasonable and do very bizarre and evil things and hurtful things. But he says, "But let us who are of the day," being Christians in this day of the gospel, "let us be sober, serious-minded, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has appointed us to not to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him." Let's look again at 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, You saw 3 and 4, I want to look at 5 and 6. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, back at the creation, He has shined in our hearts. He's put His light in us in order to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we have the knowledge of God and of Jesus, His Son. And that's life eternal. Life eternal is to know the true God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. And it's a glorious knowledge. And it transforms us into its own image. It talks about how we are transformed by it, even from glory to glory. But notice what he says too in Romans chapter 13 and verse 13 and 14. Right, he's just told us we're not in the night, we're in the day. And the time of Christ's return is coming. And so, in the light of that, it says in verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day. Now, as people in the night behave one way, you know, they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But those who are in the light, they have their works wrought by God. And he says, let us not live our lives in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, all these excesses and immoralities and bad attitudes and relationships. But he says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, the armor of light. And he says, and make not provision, or don't give any place for your flesh, that you might fulfill the lusts thereof. Don't allow the flesh any room to work, or it'll lead you into sin. And so what are we saying? God has brought us in the light. We're to live as those who are of the day, and we are not to any longer behave as those who are in darkness. But what he's also saying is we need to grow in these things. The more we take heed to the Scriptures, the more the light of Christ increases in us. Remember what Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18? But grow in grace. Grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace. What does that do when we grow in grace? Let's look at Galatians chapter 4. The Bible says that it's Christ in you is the hope of glory. We have Christ in us, but we have Him almost like as He came into the world as an infant and He grew to maturity. We have Christ in us, and we need Him to grow in us. And we need to grow in Him so that we are more and more like Him. Galatians 4:19 says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Paul says, I came to you, I preached the gospel to you, and you came to Christ and you were born again. And you're my children in the faith. And I went through great pains to bring you to Christ. His labors and sufferings were great. And now he's saying, I'm going through pains again. What are these new pains he's feeling? He wants to bring them along in their faith so they can grow in their faith and become more Christ-like. Become mature, fruitful Christians. And it was putting him through great labor and suffering to see that happen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Christ lives in us by His Spirit through our faith. So that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. We know Christ's love, but we don't know it to the fullest. We need to learn more of it and grow in it and enjoy it more and more. And as we do these things, as we read the Scriptures, including the Old Testament prophets, as we grow in our faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, as He is formed more and more in us, ultimately it reaches a conclusion. And what is that? When He does come again, it says we shall be like Him when we see Him as He is. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, it says this process is coming to this end, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, a complete, mature, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's our goal. That's what we're striving toward. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love by means of the Scripture, we may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. So that's what we're involved in this world. Like Peter said, we have this more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. That's what our study of the Scriptures will produce in us. A growth in knowledge of Christ and in Christ's likeness. It will mature us and make us to be perfect, complete Christians. And that's what God desires for us. And so, take heed. Take heed. Do well. Read them, and may God use them in your life to make you more like Jesus. We'll close there.